Hi, everybody. This is English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today is our unit on discovery, discovering the world and all the things in it, including the universe. And today we're going to be talking about dinosaurs.
Ooh.
Now, dinosaurs are kind of hit and miss. Some people just love them, and some people really don't care about them. I'm kind of neutral on them. I think they're okay to kind of study, but I'm not really all crazy about them like some kids are.
Well, most kids are crazy about it. Most boys, I think, you could say.
True, true. And my nephews were really into dinosaurs.
Yeah, there was a cool museum in New York called the Museum of Natural History, and you could walk in and see bones of dinosaurs that had been reconstructed so you could see the shape of the dinosaur. That was more interesting to me when I saw those.
Uh-huh.
It's fun to see actual evidence that they existed before. And even though some of them were really, really big, some were pretty stupid. So we're going to address some of their qualities, what they're like if they ate meat or if they ate herbs or vegetables. We call them herbivores. So it's fun. We go through a couple of them. There was one that we're going to discuss in our following program, the Ankylosaurus. I wasn't familiar with that one myself, but the rest I've heard of.
Yeah, well, I was kind of impressed, though, that Ankylosaurus actually could hold his ground against Tyrannosaurus Rex. If you could nail him with that tail, T-Rex was doomed. Okay, everybody, well, let's begin our lesson by reading the entire content of the first day's lesson, and then we'll come back to discuss it.
In the grand scheme of things, humans are relative newcomers to Earth. Long before we existed, gigantic dinosaurs inhabited the planet. But to make it in this hostile environment, these creatures had to develop some advanced evolutionary defense mechanisms. Discovery show Dinosaurs Uncovered uses cutting-edge technology to explore the lives of these primitive beasts and reveal their secrets to survival. The most fearsome of all dinosaurs is undoubtedly the Tyrannosaurus Rex. The T-Rex could grow to be 18 feet tall and over 40 feet in length. Their enormous, sharp teeth allowed them to easily crush bones and rip through flesh. Their gigantic eyes, which were the size of softballs, could spot prey from up to 4 miles away. And their acute sense of smell enabled them to detect animals in hiding. But few people realized that these beasts had a gentler side as well. In fact, the T-Rex was one of the most nurturing of all dinosaur parents, as they vigorously protected their hatchlings. Sauroposeidons, on the other hand, adopted a different approach to ensuring the survival of their species. Although they were the tallest animal ever to walk the earth, at 60 feet tall, they were also one of the stupidest. Their tiny brains didn't provide them with enough sense to individually care for their young. So, sauroposeidons laid thousands of eggs instead. Most of these eggs would be eaten by predators. However, a small percentage would make it to adulthood, enabling the species to survive for another generation.
Okay, everybody, it's time now to analyze our article in detail to explain things to you to make it more clear. And the title is The Big, the Bad, and the Stupid. Interesting title there. It sounds like that Clint Eastwood movie. Actually, I'm not sure if Clint Eastwood was in that movie, but it's called The Big, the Bad, and the Ugly. Da-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da. You know that movie? Did you see it?
Well, no, but I know that song. My parents had a record of that particular theme song. It was kind of fun, yeah. But it's funny, we've traded ugly for stupid. Today we're going to be talking about a stupid dinosaur as well as a big bad one.
Well, if we're talking about the grand scheme of things, that means we're talking about the whole Earth, the universe. We're backing up and comparing things on a large scale here. So, yeah, human beings, we feel like we've been here for a very, very long time. Ooh, China is a 5,000-year-old country. Boy, is that old. Well, if you compare it to the grand scheme of things, that's just a microsecond, okay, compared to the age of the Earth or the age of the universe. And humans are are relative newcomers to Earth. Relative means we're comparing it here. So, yeah, think about the history of the world, at least in terms of science here, going back millions of years. And I guess humans have been here for about 3 million years or so. And the dinosaurs went 65 million years ago. So that's a pretty small amount of time there in comparison.
They beat us. Scheme here is one of our vocabulary words. We often will find it in this phrase, in the grand scheme of things, today's failure on my test is no big deal. Compared to the rest of your life, what's one bad test?
True.
Or, you know, it's just being more, showing more perspective, I guess, on things that are happening to you. But oftentimes we'll use scheme to talk about a plan, sometimes an even dishonest plan that people come up with to get something they want. Maybe someone's come up with a great scheme to cheat people out of their money. I get these dumb emails all the time from people wanting me to send them money, you know, because of some dumb reason. And I think, how dumb do they think I am? But that's their scheme, and some people fall for them.
Those things are actually called scams, but it's similar in meaning here.
Uh-huh.
Scheme can be a verb too. Like, oh, be careful with him. He's scheming. He's making plans to cheat you. Or a person who does that is a schemer.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about the scheme of things here, the pattern of things or the overall view of things.
Mm-hmm.
And relative, again, is when you compare something. So relatively speaking, people haven't been here all that long. Now, long before we existed, gigantic dinosaurs inhabited the planet. So gigantic just means really, really big, really, really huge. Gigantic, like a giant, like the giant bicycle corporation down there in Taichung. It's huge. It makes millions of dollars.
They inhabited the planet, it says. It just means they lived there. That was their home. We inhabit our planet as well. But to make it in this hostile environment, these dinosaurs or creatures had to develop some advanced evolutionary defense mechanisms. Let's take a look at some of these words. Hostile here is relating to the environment, which just means it was a really tough place to stay alive. If you've ever lived in a very cold, cold place, that can be a hostile environment. Or a hot, dry desert can be a hostile environment if you don't have water or food or a house to live in. And so these creatures had to come up with some way to stay alive. Evolutionary refers to how plants and animals change gradually over time. And a defense means some way to protect yourself. But here we're actually using it as part of a phrase, defense mechanism. It's sort of a reaction that you have in order to protect yourself, maybe against disease or something that's coming at you that's putting you in danger. So a defense mechanism is what they had to develop. They had to find some way to survive because it wasn't easy back then.
Yeah, people have defense mechanisms that they use. For example, they might say that they don't like loud music because they're actually afraid to go out. They're kind of shy. They're not social. So they might be using that as a defense mechanism to say they don't like music when actually they're just kind of shy. It's kind of a defense mechanism, a way to protect yourself. Well, this is a defense mechanism that dinosaurs use to protect themselves. And on the Discovery Channel, we've got the show called Dinosaurs Uncovered. And this show uses cutting-edge technology to explore the lives of these primitive beasts and also to reveal their secrets to survival. So, yes, it's cutting-edge technology. Cutting-edge means at the forefront. It's the vanguard, if you will, the most popular form of technology and the most modern, the most recently developed, and, of course, it's going to be attracting the most amount of attention.
They're using this cutting-edge or new technology to explore the lives of these primitive beasts. To explore here doesn't mean they're actually walking around an area and checking it out. It means they're doing some research. They're looking at something very, very carefully to see what they can find out from their exploration. Well, they're looking at the lives of these primitive beasts. Primitive is being used here to talk about something that relates way, 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 way to the past. So it's something that happened long, long ago before we kept records. Here we're actually talking about a point in time where people still weren't on the earth. So they were beasts that were here a long, long time ago.
Exactly. Primitive could also be used to refer to certain kinds of people, like certain tribes in Papua New Guinea, for example, or in Africa. They're primitive tribes still living close to the land and not using technology. But these are primitive beasts going back millions of years, and we want to reveal or show their secrets to survival. What is your secret to success, for example? What kind of information do you have that you don't share with other people? Because if you do share it with other people, they'll use it against you.
Yeah, some people don't want to reveal their secrets or let people know something that they've kept to themselves, kept hidden from other people. So what did they do to stay alive? Survival is, in fact, the ability to stay alive, even though conditions might be very, very difficult for you. Some people are able to survive horrific car accidents, or they've been in a plane crash and they were the only survivor. That would be the noun form. To survive means you're able to keep living or existing, even though times are tough. Sometimes we'll talk about a business's ability to survive. Small businesses today are really fighting for survival because the economy isn't strong.
Mm-hmm. Right. But somebody who can survive is Tyrannosaurus Rex, sometimes just shortened to T-Rex. And he was the most fearsome of all dinosaurs. I suppose the she's were as well. Fearsome just means they're very scary. If you see them, you're going to be scared out of your wits. You're going to want to run for your life. And again, T-Rex could grow to be 18 feet tall. My goodness, that's 3 times taller than me, and over 40 feet in length. That's very long as well.
Sure is. So they were enormous. He also had very sharp teeth. Their teeth were huge. Enormous simply means very, very, very big. So these teeth they had allowed them to easily crush bones and rip through flesh. That sounds gross.
Ugh.
When you crush something, you break it into very, very small pieces. Sometimes it even goes into a powder. It's so small. We'll use it to talk about crushing nuts, perhaps, to add to the top of a hot fudge sundae. Or if you're cooking, you might need to crush some garlic before adding it to your dish. Well, they would crush bones. As you know, bones are very hard, and it's hard to break them. They could crush them into powder. They'd also rip through the flesh of other animals. Now, if you rip through something, you cause it to tear or split or open up very violently or quickly. You might rip through a package that arrives one day because you're so excited to see what's inside. Or a lot of times you'll rip the fabric in a piece of clothing that you have on, maybe a skirt or a shirt.
Mm-hmm, exactly. We'll talk more about T-Rex in just a couple of seconds, but right now it's time to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要看的 Discovery 系列是怎么样的影片呢？首先在第一句里面的文章提到 In the grand scheme of things, humans are relative newcomers to Earth. 这里的 scheme 呢指的是原本是指计划方案的意思。在这广大的事物当中呢，其实人类啊相较之下是比较后出现在地球上的生物，而这里的 relative 当作形容词呢，则是解释成为相较而言的、相对的意思。而事实上呢，我们都知道，早在我们以前呢，恐龙就居住在这个星球当中。所以接着我们来看到第一段的最后一个句子，这里提到Discoveries show dinosaurs uncovered uses cutting-edge technology to explore the lives of these primitive beasts and reveal their secrets to survival. 在这一个系列呢，称之为恐龙面对面，运用的是 cutting-edge technology。在这里指的呢是非常尖端的科技。首先我们来看一下 cutting edge， 在这里呢当作名词可以解释成为事物发展的尖端，像是电脑科技的尖端就可以称之为 the cutting edge of computer technology。而这一系列呢运用的是尖端的科技来探索 explore， 探索什么呢？这些史前野兽的生活，并且揭开他们生存的秘密。 我们接着要看的是这个形容词 primitive。primitive 呢，可以解释成为原始的、远古的意思。像是原始部落就叫做 primitive tribes。原始人 primitive men。接着我们来看到第二段咯。当然想到恐龙的时候，很多人第一个想到的呢就是暴龙咯。暴龙的英文我们可以简单的称之为 T-Rex。所以我们来看一下第二段的第二个句子。T-Rex could grow to be 18 feet tall and over 40 feet in length. 它可以长到多大呢？暴龙可以长到18英尺高，40几尺长，可想而知它的体型相当的巨大。Their enormous sharp teeth allowed them to easily crush bones and rip through flesh. 事实上呢，他们那巨大又尖锐的牙齿可以让他们轻易地咬碎骨头，并且撕裂呢这些血肉之躯。首先我们来看一下 crush 这个字。crush 用来当作动词，可以解释成为压伤、压碎的意思。所以如果提到Several people were crushed to death in the accident. 指的呢，就是好几个人在车祸事故当中被压死了。而 crush 这个字呢，也常常用来当作名词，除了有压碎的意思之外呢，还有迷恋、热恋的意思。所以如果你说 have a crush on somebody, 则是指爱慕某人的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more English Digest.
Well, Stephanie, I don't think you're a big fan of dinosaurs, but sometimes people have a favorite kind of dinosaur that they like. My daughter's favorite dinosaur is Parasaurolophus. If you don't know what that is, it's the one that's got the big horn on top of its head. Not really a horn, it's like an echo chamber
or something like that. Why does she like that one?
I guess the way it's shaped or something.
It's cute.
I don't know. That was before, though. She's probably grown out of this. But the reason I say that is because a lot of people's favorite dinosaur is T-Rex or Tyrannosaurus Rex. Why not? He's a big, tough guy. Everybody would like him. And they've got sharp teeth, again, as we talked about, big teeth, and they can crush bones and rip through flesh. They've also got gigantic eyes. My goodness, everything is gigantic here, huge. And these eyes were the size of softballs. Also, maybe the size of a grapefruit. A softball is like baseball, but it's slower, and you throw the ball underhand and not overhand. So there you go. Imagine an eye that big.
It's pretty big. They use these gigantic eyes to spot prey from up to 4 miles away.Wow, their eyes weren't just big, they had great vision, you could say. 4 miles away, that's a long, long way to see. We can't see that far, so it's pretty amazing. Your prey, of course, it's just an animal that you're chasing that you want to not only catch, but probably kill and eat. So they had some prey that they were after. They were well built to go hunting for other prey, weren't they?
They sure were, and they also had acute sense of smell. So their acute or sharp or keen sense of smell that enabled them or allowed them to detect or find animals that were hiding. If you're in hiding, that means you're hiding from somebody. You don't want to be discovered. Maybe a criminal is in hiding, for example, doesn't want the police to catch him and throw him in jail. But here, these animals, well, they know T-Rex is nearby, so they go in hiding. That's no good because T-Rex has great smell. And we'll find it really quick.
You know, a lot of times the police will use dogs that have a very acute sense of smell or a keen sense of smell to track criminals who are in hiding, or maybe to find people that are perhaps lost or dead. They'll use those dogs. Well, they had a great sense of smell. So even if you did find a good place to hide...Sorry, out of luck. His nose was going to track you down, so you were a dead duck.
Ooh, right, or a dead whatever. But few people realize that these beasts had a gentler side as well. So after a day of killing and maiming other animals, they'd go home and they'd sit down in front of the TV and they'd start crying because they would feel so guilty about all the animals that they caused to suffer that day. Yeah, they had a gentle side as well. They're very sensitive creatures.
Well, their gentler side had nothing to do with them feeling bad about killing animals and eating them. No, they were good parents, actually, which is kind of surprising. They were so fierce, but when they got amongst their little kids, we're calling them their hatchlings, they were very nurturing. If you're a nurturing kind of person, you're very gentle. You help to protect and help others grow. Hopefully, you've had nurturing parents and teachers as you've gone through life. Well, they were nurturing dinosaur parents, which is kind of hard to even imagine. They vigorously protected their hatchlings. When you do something vigorously, you do it with a lot of vigor. That's the noun form. So you're using a lot of energy, maybe a lot of force. They did all they could to protect their hatchlings. A hatchling is a recently hatched animal. They come out from an egg. So could be a young bird or a fish, something that's just come out from that egg and needs protection.
Like ducks or turtles or birds, etc. And if they don't hatch from eggs, I guess you could call them offspring, okay, because they were live born or born live. Okay, so here, yes, they vigorously, actively protected their hatchlings. And let's go on now and talk about sauroposeidons. Sauroposeidons, on the other hand, adopted a different approach, okay, to ensuring the survival of their species. So T-Rex's approach was just to be a mean guy out there and ripping through your opponents and protecting your kids that way. But this kind of dinosaur here had a different approach. Your approach is how you decide to handle a certain situation. Some people might have a direct approach to, I'm going to go ask the boss for a raise right now. I'm going to demand it. That's a direct approach. Or you might try a more subtle approach. Maybe you'll compliment the boss or send him flowers or her flowers.
Just do a good job, Tom.
Do a good job. That might do it, right? Etc. There are different approaches, different ways to approach or handle situations.
Well, we're talking about their method to ensuring their own survival. They didn't want their species just to disappear. Now, they were the tallest animal to ever walk the earth. I didn't know this.
Even taller than Yao Ming, huh?
Even taller. Listen to how tall the T-Rex was. 18 feet tall. This dinosaur was 60 feet tall.
Ooh.
But unfortunately, he was not blessed with intelligence. This is one of the dumbest or stupidest dinosaurs ever to live. So even though he was big, he didn't have much of a brain. In fact, we're calling it tiny. So it was very, very small, and it just didn't give them enough sense. We'll often talk about someone who has common sense, just makes good decisions. You don't have to be the smartest kid in class to have good sense, to do things that don't get you into trouble. Uses a little common sense, a little wisdom. They would never individually care for their young. So they laid eggs as well. To individually do something means you do it one by one or separately. You don't do everything in a group. Perhaps you have bought some very expensive chocolate. Those chocolates are individually wrapped.
Mm.
Or you might have a party and thank your guests who come individually instead of just saying, hey, everybody, thanks a lot.
So these are big, clumsy dinosaurs, and they couldn't care for these babies individually or one by one. So what did they do? They laid thousands of eggs instead. Lots of creatures do that, expecting, of course, most of them to die. As here it says, most of these eggs would be eaten by predators. A predator is an animal that attacks another animal, attacks and kills it in order to eat it. And sure enough, they'd say, hey, look, there's a whole bunch of sauroposeidon eggs over there.
Let's go for it.
Let's go chow down. And that big, ugly, dumb sauroposeidon couldn't do anything about it. But hey, there's predators fishes would get full eventually, right? And they couldn't fit any more in their tummies. So some of those eggs would hatch and the hatchlings would grow up to be big sauroposeidons.
Yeah, so that's probably why they decided to just start laying thousands. If you can't take care of your kids, you just better have a lot of them. I guess that was the thinking. Or maybe they didn't do any thinking about it. It just happened. So most of their eggs, unfortunately, were eaten by predators. So it was very hard for them to survive. There was a small percentage that would make it to adulthood. So out of all those thousands, maybe you'd have a handful that would actually grow to be an adult. But that was good enough. They just needed a couple to procreate or to reproduce, you could say, in order to have the species continue for another generation. So even though they did lose a lot, they still had some that remained behind, and that was their approach or method to ensuring that their species would survive.
And somebody who can ensure your English ability to survive into the future and become better and better is our Chinese teacher, so let's listen right now.
暴龙的体型跟外形都非常的吓人，但是在第二段的最后一句告诉我们 In fact, the T-Rex was one of the most nurturing of all dinosaur parents as they vigorously protected their hatchlings. 事实上呢，暴龙却是呢在所有的恐龙父母当中最会育儿的一种咯。这里的 nurturing其实它的动词 nurture 就是有养育培育的意思，因为呢这些暴龙呢非常呢会努力的保护他们刚孵育出来的幼儿，而这里的 hatchlings 就可以指的是刚刚孵出来的小动物。第三段呢要介绍的另外一种龙称之为塞东龙，我们来看一下第一句。Sauroposeidons, on the other hand, adopted a different approach to ensuring the survival of their species. 其实呢，从另外一个方面来看，这个叫做波塞冬龙的恐龙呢，事实上呢，他们则是采取不同的策略来保护他们族群的存活。这里的名词 approach 指的就是方法跟方式，它要搭配的呢是用介系词 to 再加上名词，所以你会看到这里的 ensuring 以动名词的方式来表达。很可惜的呢，它们却是一个非常笨的一种恐龙。接着我们来看到最后一句， However, a small percentage would make it to adulthood, enabling the species to survive for another generation. 波塞冬龙呢，每次都会产下数千颗蛋，然而少数的幼儿才会成长到成龙。这些长大的波塞冬龙呢，就可以让它们再存活到下一代。而在这里呢，我们要特别注意的是，这里的 make it to adulthood， 通常我们讲到 make it 就是指成功的意思，而这里的 make it to adulthood， 也就是呢，可以从小长大，存活到它成为一个成年的恐龙。
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We've got one more day to talk about Discovery's show, Dinosaurs Uncovered. We hope you'll join us then. We're going to be talking about the Triceratops and the Ankylosaurus. So get ready. Come back soon for English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
Goodbye.
Bye.